You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're listening to episode 87, brought to you by the book Mercy Like Morning, Discovering Truth in Seasons of Waiting by Jane Johnson, and the 2019 Power Sheets. You can find Mercy Like Morning at your favorite book retailer, and the 2019 Power Sheets go on sale today. You can find them at boldturquoise.com/powersheets. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. Ladies, today I have a real treat for you. A new podcast episode straight from the lady who is traveling around the South with her brand new tiny barn, the one and only Michaelyn Smith. You guys, today we're talking about her brand new book, Cozy Minimalist Home. And I have to say, when I did the episode, it stood as my favorite book of 2018 so far, and it still stands today that this is my favorite book of 2018 so far. You guys, it's so much more than just decorating. It's got so much great practical family living wisdom. And it's hilarious, which is my favorite combination for a book. Michaelyn is so much fun. She was so sweet to interview, and I did this interview at 6 a.m. I was so tired. I was literally in my bed, in my pajamas, had maybe woken up 5 minutes before, and she made it so easy because she's just so fun to talk to. I think you guys are going to love this episode, but before we dive in, I of course have to tell you about what's going on in Patreon, you guys. Things got a little crazy there for a while because I was so sick and my voice was gone and all that jazz, but we are back and better than ever doing our What Ingrid and Fiona Like episodes. We've got a brand new post that goes out every Monday morning, and it's also emailed to all the Patreon peeps, and it is a Monday morning gathering where I tell you guys everything that's coming up for the week, fun things that I've found to encourage you, a little few snippets into my life. I hope it's really going to bless our Patreon community and help bring us even closer together because I really do want it to be a community. I'm trying to bring in more live episodes on hopefully Thursday mornings is when I'm planning on doing that within the Patreon community over on Facebook. And I'm starting a new post that's going to come out every Wednesday along with the podcast episode, so Patreon subscribers can go and find it over there today. And it's my thoughts on the interview. It's kind of what I was thinking going into the interview, what I really liked about it, what I learned. It's just my kind of behind-the-scenes perspective on what putting together this episode was like. So if you're on Patreon, you can run over there and find it. And we've got so much going on from the same page within the Patreon community as well. We've got Yellow Brick Road episodes that are a private podcast talking all about the books we're reading and different things like that, and lots of other fun things, downloads, printables, posts. I think you guys are really going to like what we've got coming in the coming months. So if you haven't joined Patreon, then make sure you head over to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely and take a look at all the fun things that we have to offer over there. And before we get rolling with this interview, I do want to give a little shout out to Polar Bunny on iTunes for leaving a rating and review this past summer. This is what she had to say about the podcast. It says, "I get excited when new episodes are released. This podcast is like listening to friends chat. It refreshes my heart." Well, thank you, Polar Bunny. That's exactly what we're going for here. I want you guys to feel like you get to be a fly on the wall while I am sitting chatting over coffee with someone you might not otherwise get to chat with. I hope these episodes feel like you are just a friend at the table and you get to be kind of a part of the conversation, especially if you are in our Facebook community, which you can find on Facebook just by searching Cultivating the Lovely. We would love to have you over there because we love chatting with you guys. We love to have your input. We love to see how these episodes are impacting you, what questions that you have. It's so much fun for us to see that interaction and community really forming around cultivating loveliness in our lives, even when things don't go exactly as we plan. So thank you so much to all of my loyal listeners. I appreciate you guys. And if you haven't popped over and left your rating and review in iTunes, which I know a lot of you haven't because there's only 350 reviews and ratings over there. So there's plenty of you who could just hop in there, leave a little rating and review, and do me a huge solid by doing that. So thank you so much for those of you who do. And with that, let's get on with this episode with the one and only Michael Lynn Smith. Welcome, Michael Lynn.
Hey, Mackenzie, I'm so happy to be here with you.
I am so excited to have you because I'm not going to beat around the bush. I think I've read a little over 20 books in 2018, which I know is not like groundbreaking or anything, but
some.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay about it. I hit my goal for the year already, so, you know, that's good. But Cozy Minimalist Home has been my favorite so far. And I really like had to, I looked through my list of books, like, can I honestly say this? And honest to goodness, I loved your book that much to say it is my favorite book so far of 2018.
Oh my gosh, that means so much to me. Yeah. I'm so thrilled.
And I'm going to get into why in just a second. But for anybody who doesn't know who you are, would you mind introducing yourself and where they can find you?
Oh, yeah, you can find me at thenester.com. And I use it. So my name is Michaelyn, but it's really hard to look at and pronounce. It has a Q in it. Everyone's like, how do I say your name? And when I first started getting on the internet 10 years ago, I assumed it was full of like Unabombers and killers. So I thought, I never put my real name out there. I need to use a pretend name. So it's thenester.com. And I went by The Nester for a few years and then I was over it. I'm like, the internet is awesome. No one's going to come kill me.
Yeah.
I can use my real name now.
Yes.
But still, like on Instagram and everywhere, it's at The Nester. But that's where I hang out the most, it's on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, and I find because my name isn't Michaelyn, but even just being Mackenzie, the spellings are like insane. And I always felt like no one's going to be able to find me because they can't spell my name if I use that as just my URL. So I'm just starting to use it more in places, but I totally get that. That whenever I go to Mod Pizza, I don't know if you have that, but they write your name on the piece of paper and they're like college kids and they look at me like, nah, I don't know. I don't know if that's right.
Starbucks name. Like, yes! I use Emily everywhere.
Yeah, I always take pictures because it's always some insane spelling. So get it. Yeah. Okay. So back to why your book has been my favorite so far. I have four reasons. Like, I actually thought, like, what really was it? First of all, it's funny, which I deeply appreciate. I love a good, readable book. Like, I flew through this puppy in 3 days because it was just so readable, which I love.
I love. That's such a compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone to say it's funny, because I hope it is, but I never know if it comes across.
Yes.
So that is huge. Yay for laughs.
Yeah, I totally get that because that's your style, I think, is very similar to my style. And like, that's what I would want to come across. But yeah, it was fabulous. It's wise. It's so quotable for not only decorating, but life in general. Like the things that you say about wanting to make a space for your teens that they feel welcome in and, you know, like thinking about that and making life practical with your home. And I have highlighter all over this book with notes in the margins and like, yep, that's for life, not just decorating. That was just a great bit of wisdom. So way to go on that.
That's every writer's dream, is that people highlight and underline and pull down the pages and write in the book.
Yeah, it was just so packed full. I felt like even if you're not redecorating a home, you could get so much out of it. I loved that part of it. It's practical. You break down decorating in a way that I didn't think was possible, because I think we think so, it's like lofty and artistic and, you know, I don't know. It just, you made it so accessible and step by step, look, this is what you do. That it was like,
I was glad.
Yeah.
It is. I think we think if we're not born with like a decorated gene, then we can't do that. But no, like all making a pretty house is making decisions in the right order and choosing things that you like. And you know how to make decisions and you know what you like, and I can tell you the right order.
Well, the order, but also just like some good baseline rules. Like, this is how you should hang your curtains. This right. is the scale that you should be using, you know, in relation to your furniture, how big your art should be, and stuff like that, that has just been so... Because, okay, so people know we've been through a ton of transition. We lived with my parents for 10 months, which really in that amount of time, we were on the living room floor. I wasn't decorating anything. There was like, we are in my parents' space fully. But now for the last, it's only been a few weeks at this point. By the time this book or this podcast comes out, it's going to be a couple of months. But we are living in my grandmother's house. And so I'm in this like long basement, you know, like just one of those long basement rooms with the, you know, the varnished wood paneling on the walls and, you know, all those fabulous 1950s. What was that?
I said so much potential.
So much. That's exactly a great way to look at it. And so, I mean, step by step, I haven't been able to do it exactly how you say, because, you know, everything was just thrown in my parents' or my grandparents' basement. And it's like, here you go. But I have really been able to do so many small things. Like, okay, I can't quiet my whole space yet, but I can quiet this third of the room, like you talk about in the book. And I can figure out, okay, I have this really big piece of artwork that I can put over this little console table. And oh my goodness, it's two thirds and it works and it's beautiful. And so there have been little things like that where I can actually kind of take advantage of the space. And I had read your book right before we moved in here. And it was just so perfect, because it really has made me want to take advantage of the space and not just be like, we're here for 6 to 7 months, I'm just going to get through it, but actually try to make it pleasant and pretty.
I love that. I think so many, I know I've had that attitude at different times in my life, whether we've been renting or feeling like a place is temporary. I have never regretted making a place pretty. And it sounds like you haven't either.
No. Well, and you talk about that in the book and kind of having like that transitional time, or, you know, finding those spaces. I'm trying to find where I have in my notes. You actually say in the book about that. And that was really inspirational for me, because it kind of forced me to like, no, it is worthwhile, even if it's just for 6 months, to hang some things on the walls and make it a nice space to be in. So I really appreciated that it wasn't just, I needed to be in my own home and, you know, turn the whole place upside down and paint every wall. And it wasn't that, which was nice as someone who can't do that. So I appreciate that. Okay. And so lastly, though, my favorite thing probably about the book was the whole idea of what a cozy minimalist is, which I want you to talk about how you actually define that. And then I will tell you how I was not that. And I realized I am that.
Well, Mackenzie, I'm right there with you, because that's how I figured out what it was, because I was the opposite of that. And it was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So super simple. A cozy minimalist is a person who wants the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. So I know when we see the word minimalist, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I'm so intrigued. But then there's another part of me that has some shame or some guilt, like, oh, I have too much crap. But I also, when I see the word cozy, I'm like, oh, I want that. But I know that I have a tendency to go overboard with beautiful things. Like, beautiful, it's wonderful. But there is still a line. If you have all the beautiful things in the world in a room, it's too much. So like, at some point we have to know when to have, you know, when we have enough. And that's what a cozy minimalist is. They're able to say, we want enough cozy, beautiful things in our home to serve the people, but we need enough simplicity so that we stay sane.
Yes, exactly. This week, one of our sponsors is the book Mercy Like Morning, Discovering Truth in Seasons of Waiting by Jane Johnson. Now, I'm super excited because pretty soon I'm going to get to have Jane on the show to be talking about this brand new book, but Harvest House wanted you guys to hear about it even sooner. Just think, you could have the whole book read before I even have her on the show. So if you want to know what this book is about, basically like so many others, Jane Johnson knew she was supposed to be spending time with God through daily prayer and studying His Word. But she didn't always know how to make that happen, or how to be truly refreshed and changed by the experience. And then life got hard, and Jane learned to dig deep into Scripture. As she spent a decade walking through the heartache of delayed fertility, and as she walked beside her friend and mentor as she battled cancer, as well as all the other worries and concerns of daily life, she learned to turn to God's Word to sustain her through it all. Born out of a season of waiting in Jane's own life, in this comprehensive guide, she provides step-by-step instructions for readers to learn how to study Scripture intentionally instead of picking a verse at random, turn a trickle of insight into a rushing stream of understanding, and dig wells of knowledge to store up and draw from in all seasons. Anyone wanting to drink in living water will discover how exploring God's Word in fresh, full-to-the-brim ways can fill their lives to overflowing. Because His mercies are new every single morning. You can find Mercy Like Morning at your favorite book retailer. We also have a link in our show notes. If you go to boldturquoise.com/087, you can find the link to buy it on Amazon. And I kept thinking back to the house that I had before all of, you know, the crazy happened. And I always felt like it was never done. It was never... I felt anxious about my space. I never felt restful in my space. I felt like I constantly was needing to tweak things. And I also felt like it was never, like, sometimes it got to be like, what's the point of tidying up? Because even when I tidy up, there's still so much stuff. It's just, and it's pretty stuff, like you were saying. It was stuff that I liked, but there was just so much of it. And I'd have these gallery walls with a bazillion things on them and just be thinking, why doesn't that, I thought that that would be the thing that made this space feel done, but it just feels like chaotic. And so it, as I was reading your book, it all just kind of clicked for me, like, oh, so much of my problem was things not being the right scale or just being too many things. Like, I think I just needed it to be more simplified and things be the right size. And then I would have felt like, oh, this works. I don't have to keep messing with it. And my brain can rest.
Right. You know, you hit on something that was, it took me forever to figure out, which was buying things that were too small and collecting things that are too small. Like, I would make an accident. Like, Mackenzie, my gallery walls weren't even on purpose. They happened by accident. Like, I would hang something. I'm like, wait a second, that's too small. So instead of getting the right size thing to hang over the sofa, I would go, like, shop my house, which is so smart. Like, all in the name of being thrifty and responsible. But then I would pile more and more things on the gallery wall. And there was like this low grade feeling of chaos, but I felt really proud because I didn't spend any money, which is fine. Or I would spend like $10 on every item times 25 items. Like, oh, I could have just bought one thing for $200 and actually saved $50. Yes. So I was in this, like, buying one large thing is scary. And like buying small things, it feels like less risk.
Yeah.
But we fill our home up with small things, it starts to feel really cluttered. And you're right. Like, we just, as humans, we need a little white space. We need a little margin. And editing is like the secret trick in decorating that no one ever talks about.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think like low grade, I always knew that because there was like this anxiousness kind of always running below the surface of what I can't even rest here. But until I read it in your book, it didn't make sense. Like, oh, that's what it is. I just need to like go bigger and calm the whole place down, and then I will feel restful. And it just, it made Kon Mari more appealing to me. It was like, it wasn't so absolute and final. And if it's not working, you know, like it needs a purpose, like no, you can still have pretty. It just like, don't have lots of little pretty, have big pretty. So I really love that. But, and I think the book, it's about definitely like your spaces and everything, but you take it beyond that to really talking about how can your home serve you well right where you are now. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, I would love to. It's so easy to get stuck in like how we've always used our home. Like, oh, that's always been a dining room, or the builder said that's a dining room.
Yeah.
Or like kind of in the future, like, well, you know, in a few years that needs to be a playroom, so we'll just not do anything with it now. But I really want us to focus on how we need the homes and spaces in our homes, the spaces in our homes, to serve us right now, where whatever stage our family is in. So that might mean moving chairs around, moving furniture around, using rooms in a way that we might normally never use them, or our mother-in-law might question or wonder about. But that's what home is. Like, it's not, we don't serve our home. Our home serves us, and that's what it's for. So let it.
Yeah. I love that. Especially, I mean, just like what you were saying about your teens, like you want a place where they will come and hang out. And so you've used your home in a way and decorated your home in a way that they can do that. And that's so smart.
Well, thank you. It took me a while to figure it out. I think a lot of us, like, we do that when they're little, and some of us go overboard when they're little, like, oh, the slide and the kitchen and the toys, and which is fine, but almost we could flip it. And maybe, you know, as the mother who wants to see pretty things in the public rooms, like, I will pick the kitchen that my boys will have, which they had a kitchen, but it was me approved. And it was a cute kitchen that I didn't mind seeing in my kitchen. But as they got older, you know, they want to go retreat to their rooms to do their homework and to naturally do things up there away from the family. So why don't we flip that? When they're little, let them have their playroom away from us. But when they're older, make sure we are creating spaces that invite them in, which isn't always pretty or fun. You know, for me, it meant like having this weird settee in front of the fireplace for a few years. Our room was small, but I wanted everyone to have a place to watch a dumb movie together, or having extra charging cords. I think we have like 10 charging cords in our downstairs.
Because so smart.
It makes it convenient though. And so it's a way to say, you belong here. We want you here. Like, you don't have to go up to your room. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to go up to your room to charge your phone. Everyone gets to charge their phone down here. Everyone gets to do their homework in the public spaces. Like, that's what this is. Home is for. It's for you to do your thing, you know, together.
Yeah. I love that. We still have a long way to go on this basement. I mean, I'm sitting down here right now and there's a corner full of boxes, and then the opposite corner is my brother's boxes from when he moved out of his house like 5 years ago. And so, I mean, there's a lot of things that I have, you know, grand plans for. But even just yesterday evening, I have set up a table so that my 12-year-old can do his Legos down here. And it wouldn't have been my top choice for this space. But last night, he was sitting at that table doing his Legos. And then I had bought this little table for my little girls, who are 3 and 6, to sit at. And they were playing with, you know, Legos that are girly and coloring and that kind of stuff. And it felt like, oh, we're all together hanging out in this space. But everyone has, like, their own little place to do the things that they want to do. It's not like we're just doing stuff all together, but we're together.
Right.
And that was beautiful. That. Yeah.
It's the, and we think, like, I know sometimes I feel like, oh, talking about putting a table or a sofa in your house, like, it's meaningless. It's stupid. Sometimes I struggle with that, but then I hear that, and I experienced that myself. Like, you created that moment just by putting a table in the right place.
Yeah. And that's powerful. Like,
it is.
And that's what we have to realize, that our homes really can be a catalyst for our life. By the time this comes out, the podcast will be well launched, but I'm launching a brand new podcast called The Same Page. And the idea is that you listen to this little show while you're like on the way to take your kids to school in the morning, and it's got some memory work and Bible verses and Shakespeare and that kind of thing. And then you listen to a chapter from a classic children's novel.
Oh.
And so we love that part of it. Like, that is the basis. That is the show that goes out. But then we have this membership community, and our tagline is fostering the atmosphere and sharing the stories that lead us home. And it's that idea that it's not just the stories, it's what we do around them, like how we facilitate the stories, like having snacks for our kids and having a place that feels warm and cozy, and having, you know, in the fall, blankets and, you know, candles, or, you know, not in the car, you're not going to have candles, but if people are doing it at home, but I put twinkle lights in my car and, you know, things like that. I know. And we really wanted to think about this whole atmosphere portion of it, that it matters and our kids will remember it and serve it. And so I totally think that a book like this, that's just talking about our atmosphere and environment, is so important, because it really does facilitate relationship.
Preach. I love that. And it's so true. Like, when I think back to my childhood home, I remember the feeling more
yes.
than like details, but it's that feeling that you're creating, and all of that comes into play, all the little things that you use to create that.
Yes, absolutely. And that brings me to a couple of specific things that I loved about the book. Like, when you talk about designating items to spaces, and you say, like, designate empty surfaces. I think so many of us don't think about that. Like, we see surfaces and we just think they need to be filled. We need yes. something there. And that's so smart. How did you realize that?
Well, I realized that one day. I can remember the day when I realized that. We were living in a rental house, and we had this big oval dining room table that my boys loved to play with their little NASCAR, like their whatever Matchbox cars that were NASCARs on. So every Sunday when a NASCAR race was on, they would get all their cars lined up on the table, like sit on the table, which I'm totally up for that. Like, to me, that's what furniture is for. I don't want them to tear it up, but yeah. I want to use it. But in order to do that, they had to move like 8 decorative items off of the table, and then they put them on the floor, put them on the kitchen counter. You know, it was just in our way. And I noticed more and more often, like, I was moving pretty things around so I could live my life in my house. Mm. And that just felt like a red flag. Like, I felt like I was getting in my own way, and I felt like beautiful things weren't serving me, but they were, like, again, in our way so that we could live our life. And so yeah. it made me, I just tried, like, removing the things from the dining room table and not having something beautiful that lived there, not so it would always be empty, but so that we could always use it at a moment's notice. And mm-hmm. I loved that. So then I do that on every table now that we, like, our dining room table never has anything that lives on it permanently. I don't have, you know, 2 candlesticks and fake flowers and this and that. No, it's always empty because it's ready to be filled with whatever is currently going on. Same with our kitchen island. So that's just
yes.
designated empty space. It doesn't mean if you walk in my house, there won't be stuff on it. It means in its natural state, once it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's cleared off and nothing is on it. And there is something so mm-hmm. calm. Even if my floors are filthy and the laundry needs to be done, when that kitchen island is cleared off, I feel
yes.
like Superwoman.
Yeah, it feels like a huge victory when you yes. just walk in and it feels like, oh, look what I did last night. That was an accomplishment to clear this. I love that. And you have just, I mean, your kitchen island is beautiful. Like, everyone's dream. But I love, there's so many wonderful pictures in the book. I love that they're not just there for the sake of being pretty, which they are, but for the sake of showing things by example. That it's, Yeah, it's so much fun. And of course, I have the art copy, and so it's all in black and white. And then they sent me like the little aside, like, this is not going to work. I've got to get this actual book because it's so beautiful. I'm going to be sad to not have my notes in the final version that comes out. But
oh, I know.
But that's, I just love it so much. Yeah.
Well, and I'm so grateful for a publisher that shows, like, we've got a picture in the book of the island after a day of hosting, and it is of living in it. There's cereal boxes, there's wine bottles, there's like everything. I think a cat is on it. I mean, it's filled. Yeah. But then there's also a picture of it cleared off, and like that's the beauty of it. Like, that's what life is. Sometimes it's full, and sometimes it's really cleared off and silent.
Yes. I love that they showed kind of all the different states of it too. I thought that was very cool. And it was so fun after I read the whole book and had looked at all the pictures to then go to the little aside that they had sent me and be like, oh, there is color in her home. And they're all like, she just decorates in whites and grays.
Those pre-books. Thanks for seeing all of that.
Yes. It was very fun. Okay, but vignettes also. Again, this is one of the things that I love, how you break it down, because I think a lot of us, you know, see HGTV and decorating magazines and everything, and we're like, oh, that's pretty, but how do you do that? And you broke it down into all of its pieces. Again, like, how did you figure that out?
Okay, sometimes I feel like a man, that I am like a scientist.
A decorating scientist.
I wanted to figure it out because we've all like done a vignette or, you know, put stuff on our mantle and step back and look at it and been like, okay, something's not right, but I don't know what it is and I don't know how to fix it. And that bugged me to no end. So I was like, I have to figure out why this doesn't look right. Why do some things look right and some things look wrong?
Yeah.
So there are a million ways, and I am not like, this is exactly how you decorate a mantle, but I definitely gave steps of like, to get like the bare bones of why things work together and why some things don't look right together. There's like a step-by-step process that has to do with, you know, the shape, the scale, the mass, the texture, and the relationship of those things together. It can really, really, really be simplified. And then from then, if you want, you know, if you need more pieces or bigger pieces or whatever it is, you can add that in, and, you know, you can pick things and colors that you like. But if we can kind of see why some items, why does this clock look weird when I put it next to this mirror? Well, probably because they're both shiny and reflective, and you need something that's a different shape, or you need something that's textured to kind of grab the eye. So we walk through those steps, and it really helps clarify, like, oh, well, that's what's wrong. Like, I just need to change this one thing on my mantle. And it also helps you when you go shopping, instead of like, okay, I'm at Target and I need to find something to make my mantle.
Yes.
But if you're like, oh, I know what I need. I need a round vase that's like over a foot tall. Well, that's a lot easier to shop for. That's more fun.
Ladies, today is the day. The 2019 Cultivate What Matters Power Sheets have launched. I am so excited about this, you guys, because I bought Power Sheets for the first time last year, and I have loved them all year long. One of my favorite parts is the whole getting ready for the year portion that you actually do in 2018. So you don't even have to wait until January 1st to make these Power Sheets work for you. You can start using them immediately and working through the process of figuring out what your goals are even going to be in the new year. And it's not just an, oh, we're going to do resolutions on January 1st and, you know, fail in a week. That is not what Power Sheets do for you. Power Sheets really help you to dig deep, figure out what your values are, and figure out month by month and season by season what's working for you, what's not, what you need to tweak a little bit. I have loved this process all throughout the year. In fact, I've loved it so much that a group of friends and I are going to get together every single month in 2019 to hold each other accountable to using our Power Sheets and making sure that we're following through on the things that we line out for ourselves to do. I think you guys are going to love Power Sheets so much. That's why I have an affiliate code that I would love for you to go check them out at. So if you go to bullturquoise.com/powersheets, it will take you straight to the Power Sheets site. You can see all the fun new things that they have to offer. This year they've got sticker books and pouches to put your pens in and all kinds of fun things. You guys, it's so good. And Cultivate What Matters and Laura Casey, they do an amazing job of delivering really high quality products. I promise you will not be disappointed. So again, go to bullturquoise.com/powersheets to get yours today. And remember, they sell out every year, so you're going to want to snag yours early. As I've been going through this process for, you know, the last year, over time, I've picked up little things. Like, I know I'm going to need to fill a home. I want it to feel homey. I want when we get there that my kids feel like it's not just this big empty space, but that we actually, it's home. And so I've picked things up over the year, and most of the time I've done a pretty good job, but there are some pieces I look at and I'm like, this was a Target dollar spot. Like, oh, that's a cute little thing. I should buy that. And now, since reading your book, I don't buy those things because I'm like, that I don't want little things. Like, they don't even have any place for me. So I can free myself from not buying that because I don't need that. I don't want that. Nope. Not gonna do it.
Yep. Yes. And it's not that there's anything wrong with those little things, but we see the power of like piling that money together and getting one large, more impactful thing. And then the freedom that that brings of like, and the rest of the space could be kind of empty because I have this one, you know, signature piece or this one beautiful lamp that I love instead of getting the hand-me-down broken lamp that I hot glued 3 years ago. So the story of my life.
Yeah.
Well, all in the name of continuing to use something, but I don't like it. So it really helps you narrow down like how to shop and how to make decisions in ways that it's not like, you know, you don't have to have a designer walking with you holding your hand through all these things. You're perfectly capable of doing it when you know what to look for.
Yes. Well, and I love too, you point out in the book that if you have a lot of things, then nothing gets attention. And it's if you have one like statement piece, though, people will actually notice it because it's the only one. And I thought that was just so smart that, oh, that's why my gallery wall never like really worked for me, because nothing really had any weight or significance anymore because there were 1,000 things to look at.
Right. The more things that we have on display, the less value each one really feels like, you know, it carries.
Yes. Yeah, that was so smart. Your whole book. I'm just so excited about it.
I do that now. I take that like with my photos. Like I used to have lots of photos and like, oh, let me get this 4x6 photo put in a frame.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like I love my kids. I want my photos. But now I'm like, I'm going to pick my very favorite photo and have that thing blown up.
Yes.
So I have a huge canvas of my boys. And it's like the one photo of them when they're little that's out in my house. I have all the other photos. They're in photo albums. It's great. We can look at them anytime we want. Yeah. But as far as hanging on my wall, I feel like that gets a lot more tension, has more presence. And like, I really actually enjoy seeing that photo every single day because it is there front and center.
Yep. Yeah, I got super lucky that Canvas People sponsored my podcast very early on in the whole process. And a friend of mine snapped a photo of me and my 4 kids. It was like negative 80. Like, it was so cold outside. And I made all my kids take their coats off because we had on, like, everybody's in gray shirts. Everything. It was like, just bear through it for 5 minutes. You're not going to get frostbitten. And so they look cold in the photo, but I still love the photo because it's like, it's just the 5 of us. And then Canvas People blew it up into this huge canvas for me that I got for free. And it was just like the Lord said, like, here you go. Like, here's a big piece for your next home. And I'm so excited that I didn't, because I think I'd always thought too, like, oh, well, I love the look of canvases, but I can never afford a big one. So I'll just get a bunch of little ones over time instead of like, well, how about just save up and get a bigger one over time instead of all the little ones? Yeah.
And I think we envision that it's going to be like so expensive or so much trouble or so scary. I'm always surprised like, oh, that gave me confidence. And oh, that wasn't as expensive as I thought. And oh, that looks 10 times better than I expected. And I don't need these other 3 things that I thought I might need. So the, it pays off in so many ways.
Yeah, I love it. And then at the very, I think it's actually on the last page of your book, you have this great quote. You say, you'll know your home is in a good place when you go from thinking about how to make it look better to thinking about how to make it serve better. And
yes.
I love that idea that it can be done. Like, you don't always yes. have to keep doing it.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean that your home won't, like, change, because your family's going to change as your kids get older, as you, you may move from home to home. So it doesn't mean that, but it means, like, I know some of us are just kind of preoccupied with our homes and the state of it. And, like, getting it to a point where we don't have to think about it every day sounds really helpful. And it's all in the name of, like, we want to have a pretty home so we can use it and invite people over and use it to host people and have them stay with us, whatever. We want to use it. We don't, most of us don't want a pretty house so we can be in a magazine or show off.
Yeah.
We want it so that we can forget about it and use our home the way we've always dreamed, which is my goal for you. Like, is for you to not have to think about your house anymore.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I think that when people follow the guidance, I won't say rules, but the guidance in your book, they can get that freedom. So I think you did a fabulous job of walking people through it step by step and then giving that them that permission to be like, it's okay to find a stopping place.
Yes, it is. And I think that's a big part of our job too that we don't talk about is like we get to call and say that's enough. And so recognizing when we have enough in different areas in our life is such a grown-up thing and decision to make. And I love that. Like, I want more decorators or whatever people in my life that I'm looking up to, like, I want to have that enough conversation. And I know I've had to say enough of the Target cute dollar spot, as cute as these are, and I could find so many cute things to do with it. Like, I don't need that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, aren't we so mature? Look at us go. Okay, so, but you are the nester. Like, that's whole, you've written two decorating books. This is what you're about, but you've dialed in your home fairly well. What's next?
Oh, dang it. I didn't know you were going to ask that. Listen, I'll tell you what's next is exactly where I leave you in this book is now I can use my home the way I've always dreamed. And we bought a fixer-upper 5 years ago. So my first book was all about embracing imperfections. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the whole thing while we lived in a rental. And then we moved here to a fixer-upper. We've been fixing it up for 5 years. And now we still have things to do, but like it's in a really good place. Like, I want to model hosting. We host, like, I have a fall festival every October called Nest Fest. We have 1,000 people come. I have vendors and food trucks. I want to have seasonal parties at my house. Like, I want to literally have the internet over.
Yeah. Well, I'll be right there.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad. I want you to.
That's amazing. So is that going to be the next book? All the hosting?
Well, I'm not sure. I do have another book I am writing with them, and I'm not exactly sure what direction it's going to be, but that is a lot of where my heart is, and I already teach some online courses, like they're seasonal classes, and it's seasons and celebrations, so we talk about how to bring the season in our home without buying everything in the fall aisle at Hobby Lobby, because I want to buy everything in the fall. It's all beautiful.
Yes.
I love it all.
Yeah.
But I don't have to pack it away.
Yes. It's so true.
Bringing that in a cozy, minimalist way that, you know, feels like fall, that our kids aren't like crying because there's no Christmas tree. No, it's not about that at all. But it's about like us enjoying the season and our family every season. So spring, you know, summer, fall, and winter, we go through all of those. So, and then we talk about the celebrations that happen within those, because I do feel like once we have our home ready, we're in a lot better place to welcome people in because we're not preoccupied with our house. So it's a lot easier to host and have people over when we feel like our home is kind of a partner with us to help serve.
Absolutely. Well, that's super fun. And I'm so excited to hear that you do have another book coming out, because I love the way that you write. And you had said after your first book, you didn't know if you'd ever write another one.
Oh, it's so hard to write books.
Yeah. So it makes me downright giddy that there will be another one on the way. That's very fun to hear. Yay. Okay. So how are you currently cultivating loveliness in your life?
Well, I think one way is I just recently got new sheets for my bed
Ooh.
and mixed them up. So I have like one pattern as the what is it, like the first part you put down? What is that called? On
Oh.
your bed. The thing that's hard to fold, the
The
fitted
fitted
sheet.
sheet.
Fitted sheet.
Yeah.
So I have one pattern on that. I have one pattern for the like the top. What is the top sheet called? I don't
The
know the
top
names of
sheet.
these,
I
the
think
technical
the
names.
top sheet is
Yeah.
good. Yeah.
So I use a different pattern on that, and I always lay it like you want to fold it so the two patterns touch, so that when you fold the top sheet over, you see the pattern on the
Yeah.
top. And then all my pillows are different patterns. So I buy all my sheets at Target, and then I have a different pat. So they're all like really small scale kind of neutral patterns, but they delight me every day, and it's just a way to bring like a little bit of beauty into my morning. Was just kind
Yeah.
of mixing up my sheet. I mean, I had all the most of the sheets anyway. It was just like giving myself permission to use the different pillowcases with a different top sheet with a different fitted sheet.
That's fun. I would have never thought to do that. See, that's
It's it
what we come to you for.
is happy to provide that little
Yes.
tip.
Thank you. I will take it. I know, I think that's why, you go before us. So you wrote your first book, you had lovely gallery walls. We all tried to make our gallery walls. Now you're like, ditch the gallery wall. I'm like, okay, I'm ditching the gallery wall. Now I need to go get sheets that mismatch. I haven't bought sheets for a bed yet, so I'm glad to
I'm
have
so
these tips
grateful.
first.
You follow me, and then I'm like, whoops, did that
Yeah.
wrong. Let's turn
Like,
around. Everyone, get rid of all that stuff you bought for that gallery wall, because
Yeah.
we did that all wrong.
Yes, but I love that you do. You're like, nope, never mind. Let's go a different direction. That's not many people will do that. They would just like stick to their guns no matter what. So, way to go for you.
Well,
And
we can only write what we know and live what we
yeah,
know. You know, like
absolutely.
that's our shouldn't our home and our style and our life be evolving and, you know, us making different decisions based on different things that we learn and know? I mean, I hope that never
Yeah.
stops.
Well, and I mean, you even say that in the book as far as like figuring out where your furniture goes. Like, move it around, like, experiment with it. Do what you need to do until you get to that place where it feels right. And so
Yes.
I love that even, writing books and everything, you can be like, well, no, let's go this direction. I think this might work better. So that's awesome. The way that I am currently cultivating loveliness, like I said, we're really trying to settle in at my grandma's house and get some things in place. And we're recording this in the summer before we start school, but it's the first time that we've really had like designated spaces for our things since we left. And so
Right.
I've really been enjoying like actually getting our things really organized and in places that are accessible, making my kids' clothes more accessible. They were just in like these bins before, but I went and bought just like plastic little dressers from Walmart. I mean, they're nothing fabulous, but they bring me so much joy because they tuck into the closet and my kids can like actually have their clothes folded nicely where they can get to them easily. And it's just like doing all those little things to make it like, okay, we can live here, we can exist here, and we can do it well, even though it's not ideal. We can make it work for us. And I'm going to send you a picture. When I get off of here, you're probably
Yes.
like, I do not care. But
No, I care. I to see.
I have that big picture that I kind of mentioned in the podcast that
Yes.
I bought. It's a big canvas and it's very simple and it just says, it is well with my soul. And it's that two-thirds rule. It's nice and chunky and it fits on this wall and it's so simple and it's exactly the message I need in my life at this point. And so I love it's right across from my bed and I wake up to it every morning and I love it. And so it was totally worth it, even though we'll only live here for, a little while, to have that big canvas up on my wall. So I will send you how the wonderful scale that it is on my
I am
wall.
so glad. If do you have show notes? You should put in your show notes too
Yes,
if you do.
I will. Absolutely. Hopefully, by the time this show goes live, there will be much more to show of this basement. And so, yeah, I'll try to put some pictures in there. That would be really fun.
That would.
Okay, Magdalene, are you ready for my stock questions?
I am.
All
I hope I'm
right.
ready.
Yes, you will be. It's not that hard. Okay, candles or essential oil diffuser?
Yes.
Okay.
I do both.
Good answer. Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Paper.
Okay. City or country?
Country.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh my gosh. Times a million.
Yeah. Paper or digital?
Oh, paper.
Okay. Shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
Usually online.
Real? I would have pegged you for in the store.
So well, I would like to never leave home if I don't have to.
Okay. All right. It's 4 o'clock or whenever you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Music.
And what is some of your favorite music to listen to at that hour?
Well, honestly, the reason I would listen to music is because I need to not have any more words, because you're like me, like our job revolves around words a lot. Yeah. So I need a word break. So I would need to listen to something instrumental. And right now I'm into a lot of, I think it's Martin Phipps. He does a lot of the BBC scores for the nerdy BBC shows that I watch. So like the Victoria show, I downloaded all of that music. Do you watch that show?
Oh, yes. Oh,
isn't
yes.
It so good?
I'm obsessed so with it. Good. And this is on a tangent, but that first season, I felt like they never, like, there's nothing scandalous. They don't show anything, you know, but like their wedding night scene was the sexiest scene I think I've ever seen on TV.
I mean, it's on PBS.
Yes.
How could they do that? You're right. That's yes. a really good point.
It's amazing.
It's an excellent show.
Yeah.
So,
but
so I will listen to that.
Yeah, I totally get the soundtrack thing too, because I watch Poldark and I just started.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I just
that music too.
Yes, and it was so funny because I was messaging a friend who watches it too, and it's been so long since I've seen it.
Yes.
And as soon as that music came on, I had to Marco Polo her. I was like, oh, it's back. Like, I feel it in my bones. It's back.
Yes. And it's music just, is so powerful. Which is why we need to use it in our homes. Like, you don't have to fill it up with stuff. You can just fill it with music and totally change the tone.
Yeah. I felt like I needed to just go download like all my favorite shows lead-in songs, because it's so like, it just takes you to another place. Yep.
Yes.
I get it. You've inspired me. Okay. Chocolate. Do you prefer milk or dark?
I like both. I know people are so have sides. What do you like?
I'm dark all the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand you people.
I know. I mean, it's chocolate. I'm like, yes, whatever it is, I'm happy to eat it.
There you go. I don't mind like in a candy bar, but other than that, I prefer dark. Okay. Sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay. Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Watch. I never want to broadcast. I don't want to do this podcast. But, you know.
But you're so good at it and so comfortable with it. I've been very impressed.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Your favorite movie. What is it?
Oh my gosh.
It's a hard one.
It is. It used to be Life is Beautiful, you know, with the subtitles that you have to read. I just love the message of that, of like how we get to shape how we feel and how we see things, or how our kids see things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I have a new favorite since then. I mean, I'm more of a TV girl. So, I mean, like we said already, Victoria, Poldark, The Virgin Queen, all the BBC shows. I'm all about those more than movies.
Call the Midwife. Are you into that
I
one?
I haven't gotten into that quite as much. Have you?
I have. I've watched it from the very first season, so I've been in it now for a while.
Okay, sure.
Okay, if you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, and 0 is totally not crunchy, and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where are you on the crunchiness spectrum?
Oh, I guess it depends on everyone's individual...
I know, like, that's why this question is fun, because everyone has a different, like, gauge of what it actually means.
Like a 2 or 3, barely.
Okay.
So we live in the country, so we do a lot of things that maybe, you know, we have a rooster and I don't know. So see, my definition is coming out and I don't even know what's correct.
I love it. That is so much fun. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It was a delight to get to talk to you.
You are an amazing host. I feel like we've had a fun time sitting down in your cute basement chatting together.
Yes. Well, I so appreciate it. This is one of those interviews that, because I get a lot of requests like, hey, I have this person who wrote this book. And oh, I'm like, oh, what is this book about? But as soon as your name came through the subject line, I was like, book it, book it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're making my whole day. Stop it. And listen, don't forget to send me a picture of your.
I will. I will clean the water bottles off the console table right now.
I don't know about that. I can see through that.
And I will show you because, yes, it delights me.
I love that. Thanks so much.
Thank you. She was so fun, right? You guys, I just love Michael Lynn. One of these days, I'm going to make it to Nest Fest, which she just had at her big farm last weekend. It looked amazing. If you didn't see it on social media, you should really go find some posts because it is beautiful and there were a ton of authors there. So one of these days, I'm going to make it to Nest Fest. But the second best thing is to at least be able to get your hands on her book, Cozy Minimalist Home. We have links in our show notes at boldturquoise.com/087 so you can find it and go over to Amazon and you can have it on your doorstep in 2 days, you guys. It released today. I am so excited. I will be showing my copy on Instagram stories. Make sure you're following me over there at Mackenzie Kappa. I love interacting with you guys on Instagram. It's my favorite place to be other than right here on this podcast. It's a little bit more interactive and that's really the only way that I know what you guys are thinking about the show is if you tell me, and a lot of times you do on Instagram. So thank you for all of you who follow me over there. I love hanging out with you. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Until next week, when I am back with the one and only Candace Cameron Bure. Yes, you heard me right. DJ Tanner is on the show next week talking about two of her new books. And you guys, we went pretty deep in this conversation. I cannot wait for you to hear next week's episode. So keep your ears to the ground for that to come out next Wednesday. It's going to be a really good one. Till then, go be bold and gracious.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.